asking people to comment on our visionary goals. What we're interested in doing is having creative people from across the community, and this is a community of people who are interested in and concerned about the Homeland Security mission. We're asking all people who are interested to look at these visionary goals and give us some feedback. These visionary goals are something that may be achievable in the 20 to 30 year time frame, or maybe not at all. The point is to give us a type of North Star, if you will, a guiding vector, what kind of capabilities we need for the future. So we've sent out information on what these goals are, and we have a collaboration website that we've set up where people can leave their comments. And we're looking forward to reviewing the comments and incorporating criticisms and suggestions.
Let's go over the goals real quick. Now, they are screening at speed, trusted cyber future, decision maker data enablement during incidents. Talk each about those, and how did you come up with those specific four?
If you start looking at the Quadrennial Homeland Security Review, if you look at the Secretary's priorities, if you look at policy coming out of the White House, what you find is there are a number of different missions that have been articulated. Then you start looking at those missions and you start thinking about what are some of the cross-cutting capabilities that we need to enable those missions. And then you take it further and you say, what can we achieve? What can we look for far in the future, in the horizon somewhere? And that's where we get to these. So we have screening at speed, matching the pace of life. We have a trusted cyber future, protecting privacy, commerce, and community. We enable the decision maker, providing actionable information ahead of incident speed. And then the responder of the future, protected, connected, and fully aware. What we'd like to do is have all of these start driving research investments to start trying to achieve these. And I'm not going to read them for time concerns, but we have a paragraph that explains each one of these in a little bit greater detail.
All right, and we will definitely link to that paragraph on federalnewsradio.com to make it easy on our listeners and right. the people you're trying to reach. When you look at each of these areas, you talk about areas you like to do research. Are these the only four areas that you really want comments on, or can people comment on other areas that maybe they think should be included in your visionary goals?
These are not the only areas. Again, I think one of my concerns is that there are creative people all over the place, and we don't necessarily have access to all of them within our own organization, S&T here at DHS. The point is to reach out to everyone and say, what do you think the problem is, right? What do you think we should be thinking about as a Homeland Security enterprise? And let us know.
Why then even list these four? Why not list 10 or 15 or 20? Are you concerned that maybe people will look at these and go, well, they're only interested in these four? My idea around chemical safety security, for instance, may not be worthwhile.
For one thing, you have to look at these as broad categories. And you have to look at these and say, does your concern actually fit within one of these? For example, screening. Screening can mean a number of different things, right? So you have to think about, does your particular area of concern fit in one of these already? If not, suggest it, right? Again, we are influenced and driven by the QHSR, the Quadrennial Homeland Security Review, and Secretary's priorities. So I think that that's where these came from. There may be some things that we hadn't thought about, and maybe some things that can be suggested that don't quite fit in here, but I'd also suggest that these are broad areas, and they were purposely made broad, so we could capture a lot of different areas.
What made you go down the path of crowdsourcing? This is something that we're seeing with We the People at the White House. We're seeing with a lot of the paloozas, the data paloozas and energy paloozas from the White House. Is this all influenced by the fact is that the idea of one brain is good, but hundreds and thousands of brains are much better?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, I think we've seen success in these crowdsourcing activities in a number of places, whether it's private industry or the public sector. And we're following that lead. I think that, you know, I'd like to be able to hear back from not just people in the federal government, like the people hear back from folks in industry, people in small businesses, large businesses, medium-sized businesses. Anyone who really is concerned about this area has ideas. And I think it's important that we recognize the fact that this is our homeland, and this is an extremely important mission. It's important that we hear from people who are concerned about it. We are able to look and consider all good ideas.
Any plans to have any kind of online collaborative kind of discussions or town halls or anything like that? I mean, because this is the type of thing that, you know, you may only hit so many people. It's the whole idea of you don't know who you don't know.
I absolutely agree with you. I think those are all good ideas and all things that are in our capacity to do. So I think, for example, we've talked about industry days where we bring in industry to talk about where we're going in the future. One of the things I really want to emphasize is expanded Homeland Security industrial base. You know, how do we reach out more to our industrial partners and let them know what we're trying to do and get feedback of some of their thoughts. Because I think that's something that may not have been done enough in the past. And I think it's essential if we're going to be able to give our operational end users the kind of capabilities they need in the present and going forward in the future.
So when you talk about crowdsourcing, one of the big concerns maybe, or one of the things that can happen, is people give you silly ideas. The most famous one probably with We the People and the idea of that the government should build a Death Star. They actually got so many signatures that they had to actually consider it. And then somebody had a good sense of humor and wrote back. How are you going to guard against that, or at least deal with that, that people could come back with things that just are ridiculous?
Well, look, I mean, I think that what we hope is that people take this somewhat seriously and come up with good suggestions, constructive criticism if necessary. If there are things like that, then, you know, that's the things we'll just have to consider and deal with. But I'm looking forward to good suggestions and constructive criticism.
There's a good chance someone's going to come up with something silly, so you can prepare yourself that way. So what's going to come from these suggestions? I know this is open until September 7th. You're going to accept suggestions, ideas, comments, and then what happens from there?
These are kind of our North Star, right? These are far in the future types of visions. These will then be used to help us craft our 5 to 10 year strategic plan. And the strategic plan will talk to, you know, baselining where we are right now in terms of capabilities, where we expect to be in the 5 to 10 year time frame, and how we expect to get there. So we expect these to influence the strategic plan going forward. And then this plan is something, again, we would like to share this with our stakeholders so that we can really energize this science and technology ecosystem, which is, you know, the federal government, academia, industry, laboratories, et cetera.
I want to shift off for a second away from this crowdsourcing. You are relatively new to Homeland Security Department. You came over from the Defense Department. If you could just maybe discuss a little bit about your transition to DHS and maybe what are some of your other top priorities you're looking to get done over, you know, the next 6, 9, 12 months?
I think the missions have been very different. I've been struck with just the breadth of the Homeland Security mission, and the depth required in terms of capability development is incredible. I found the people to be passionate about what they do. I found tremendous competency. So I think it's an opportunity to impact a tremendously important mission. In terms of what I'm trying to do, I think these visions are one of the first things I want to do. I also mentioned the second thing, which is going with a strategy. It's also important to have an enabled workforce, right? I think that we're not going to be able to do our jobs unless we have a workforce that is empowered, excited, that is connected, right? I mean, part of this, we start looking at some of the attributes of the age we live in now is this hyper-connectivity. And it's important that we as an organization, and which is made of people, are part of this hyper-connected ecosystem. So that's another piece. Another part of this really has to do with the Homeland Security industrial base. And I mentioned earlier this ecosystem is having strong relationships with industry so that we can be influenced by their knowledge of the state of the art and the art of the possible, and they can be influenced by where we see that we need to go in terms of providing capabilities to achieve our various missions. So I think in the near term, all I'm trying to do is get this visions and the strategy nailed down. And working from there, it really has to do with implementing the strategy, aligning our resources to most effectively and efficiently achieve our end goals, and then reaching out externally to all of our stakeholders. So that's really where I'm trying to go, the next quarter or so, is those latter things.
Should people who follow S&T, who work with S&T, expect big changes in the next, you know, 6 or 12 months with you taking over as undersecretary, or will things kind of happen incrementally and they should expect that DHS, you know, for the most part, S&T will be heading down a very similar path that it has been over the last 5, 6, 7 years?
What I'm looking at is having a balanced portfolio, a portfolio that's balanced from near-term to potentially disruptive technologies. I think it's important that we have high-impact projects. It's important we also do near-term projects where we take availability of high-feasibility types of things. So I think that I'm looking very much to a portfolio that goes across these areas, you know, near-term to far-term, and looking forward to much more of an outwardly-facing type of organization where we are working with our industry partners and collaborating across government. Some of the problems that we're talking about are tremendously important to a lot of different people, right? You talk about cyber and data analytics and these kinds of things. And so I'm trying to increase our collaboration and increase our external facing with our stakeholders.
Is there one or two things that you're bringing over to DHS from your experience at DOD, a lesson learned, a best practice?
Part of of it has to do with the balancing of the portfolio. You know, I think that, you know, when you look at the Department of Defense portfolio, there is this balance with the striving for a balance between, you know, solving near-term problems and looking at disruptive capabilities. Right. So you've got a number of different organizational structures within the Department of Defense that does this. Science and technology in DHS is really chartered to do a tremendous number of different things. This goes from near-term acquisition programs to look at operational tests and evaluation to the basic research kinds of things. And so we have a tremendously broad charter in the science technology space. And what I'm trying to do from my experience in the Department of Defense and in industry is really have an effectively balanced portfolio, which balances risk with potential rewards.